When I was 5 or 6 years old, any carpenter I saw, I would ask him to make a Rathiatra cart for me. Yes, why not, they would say. My father took me to a carpenter shop, but somehow nothing could be agreed on. So I was crying in the street when one old lady saw me and asked me why I was crying. Imagine, Prabhupada was 5 years old. He was crying because he couldn't have his Rathiatra cart. When my father told her how I wanted a Rathiatra cart, but no carpenter will make, I have got a cart, she said, and my father arranged to purchase it. Then my father bought oil paint and I painted it. I was also preparing fireworks. He's 5 years old. I saw a little book, How to Do. My father gave me many things and thus put my mother into anxiety. This was a common thing that was going on. Prabhupada's father would do everything for him and his mother, she was always in anxiety. He said, and I was very persistent. All my friends, children, they would help me. I was never lazy from my birth, neither dull. So this is probably, these are very special words to hear from Prabhupada himself saying these things. He said, neither to be defeated by anyone. Whatever I would order to my parents or friends must be obeyed. This was Prabhupada that we also got to see all the time. Prabhupada would not take no for an answer. It must be obeyed. He said, Krishna has always given me leadership. I am surprised how I, a poor Indian, have leadership of the Europeans and Americans. Amongst the authors in the world, I am the leader. So it's one thing. We can say these things, but Prabhupada in these moments, he said these things. So this was Prabhupada. He said, of all the authors, who was given? What Prabhupada has given us in this world? Still, I cannot even comprehend. And then it goes on. When I informed Srila Prabhupada that Harikesh Swami had arrived, he immediately wanted to see him. Prabhupada was so affectionate to him, since for 2 years Harikesh rendered so much personal service, cooking, typing, massaging, all performed conscientiously. When Prabhupada previously sent him off to preach, Harikesh thought that Prabhupada was kicking him away. Prabhupada, however, was feeling that Harikesh could render far more valuable service elsewhere. And during the past year, we have seen how enthusiastically he has developed preaching and book distribution, book production and distribution in Europe and Eastern Europe. As soon as Harikesh came before his divine grace, Prabhupada began to cry ecstatically, like a river that overflows its banks. He said, you're doing so much. If I live or die, it is all right. Otherwise, want to see you a little stronger. Harikesh was also crying. Prabhupada explained his feelings. As a father likes to see his estate nicely managed, I am like that. Get places and print. The whole world is simply waiting for Krishna consciousness. Let us give them something. Let them be happy. So, and Prabhupada also had, we know that Bhakti Tirtha Swami came, and also the brahmacharis, they came to see Prabhupada. It says that here. Prabhupada asked the devotees, these were the Eastern European devotees, to come and be with him. The German devotees had just arrived around noon, along with special Eastern European preachers. But Prabhupada was not thinking of his massage, because it was his massage time. Harikesh brought in the devotees who specialized in preaching in the communist bloc. Tamal suggested that they see him in the temple in the morning, but Prabhupada said, no, I must personally thank them. The German devotees came with great enthusiasm and literally hit the floor and did dandavats. Oh, thank you, Prabhupada said, knowing they were unexcelled in distributing his books. And he asked, have you understood the philosophy? First, understand that life is eternal and the only business is to surrender to Krishna, then everything is all right. So these were Prabhupada's instructions. So he remained here for 2 weeks. And it was very special time. Again, very fortunate for everyone here. And that fortune goes on here. Prabhupada has established this place as a tirtha. Last night, we left early, relatively early last night, and of course there was this line of cars coming to take darshan. And that brought me to one point when Prabhupada, on his own Vyas Puja, he gave a lecture in the afternoon. And I remember some of that as well. Again, in 1973. Now imagine, Prabhupada had come here. He was helping to set everything up. And waiting for Janmashtami and the day they would install Radha Gokulananda, there was a week or two in between. And Bhagavan invited him to Paris. He said, we're going to install Radha Krishna. So Prabhupada came here. He went to Paris, did the deity installation. He came back here, did the deity installation, all the time training everyone. And this was all, for Prabhupada, these were all his secondary endeavors. His main endeavors were printing books, printing all these books to be distributed. As he described here, make centers and distribute books. That's what I saw. When I look, I see that all these centers are meant as distribution points of Prabhupada's literature. They were in the 70s, and that's what they're meant for now. Prabhupada wanted everywhere books just continually go out. And this is what brought tears to Prabhupada's eyes, especially in the final days. Everyone he was seeing, they were distributing Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada was so happy because, as it describes, I'll read another little thing. I hope you don't mind I'm reading. I find these very moving. This was happened in Vrindavan, and it was in 1972 during Kartik. And it was comes out of Hayagriva's book, which was called Vrindavan Days. Vrindavan Days. So where is that? And it's very wonderful what Prabhupada says in there. And he says the most amazing thing, and if I can't find it, I'll just tell you it. I can't find it. So, this was during Kartik of 1972, and there Gurudas is asking him a question, and he says, in Vrindavan, do they need a spiritual master? Of course, we've all heard this, and Prabhupada said, no, in Vrindavan, Krishna, he's the spiritual master. And then Gurudas says to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I think we're more fortunate, he says, to have you as our spiritual master. And Prabhupada laughs and he said, that is a Vaishnava, thinks like that. And then Shyama Sundar adds, Prabhupada, we're so fortunate because we have both Vrindavan and you. And then Prabhupada goes on to say, he says, I am just the messenger of Vrindavan. And he begins glorifying his spiritual master and saying, as we know, Srila Bhakti Saranta Saraswati Thakur, he said he was a very erudite scholar. He says, and he wrote so beautifully. And then again, he said, if there was any miracle, he said, that I've done, it's that I've presented what he gave me without adulterating it. And he talked so simply. He said, just like the postman, he said, I am just delivering the mail. He said, and I haven't changed anything. He said, this is the process of the cyclic succession. And this is what Vyas Puja is all about. What Prabhupada gave us is coming, said so many times, is coming right from Krishna. His books, they haven't been adulterated with any mental speculation. In his lecture he gave that day in 1973, Prabhupada stressed that anyone, he says, can be spiritual master. Simply you repeat what you've heard from your spiritual master. You don't change anything. So he began speaking in that way, and he said, here in Vrindavan, he said, I did Srimad Bhagavatam in three parts. He said, and even, of course, he very humbly, and he said, my English was not so good. He said, but I put everything in there. He said, because it's what my spiritual master wanted me to do. And he said, and that first canto, he said, is sufficient. He said, because I didn't know what would happen after. He said, so everything in our philosophy is in that first canto. And he said, and I didn't go to America with nothing. He said, I brought these books. And immediately he started distributing these books. And he said, I took my inspiration from the Goswamis and Srila Rupa Goswami. And then he said, therefore, he said, this place, Radha Damodar, he said, this place is the hub of the wheel of the spiritual universe. Radha Damodar Temple, his rooms, he said, at Radha Damodar Temple, because in these rooms, this Krishna consciousness movement, he said, this ISKCON society began in these rooms by Srila Rupa Goswami. And by their inspiration, he put it into English. Imagine, again, as Vyasaki was describing yesterday, this was not anywhere outside of India. Prabhupada went there in 1960, and he said he lived there very comfortably. He liked it so much. And he liked his rooms at Radha Damodar Temple so much. But then he went from there, the center of the spiritual world. Not just the center, but the center of the center. He said the hub of the wheel. The wheel's the center. But within the center, it was the very center. So he went from the very center of the spiritual world. And where did he go? He left there with his Srimad Bhagavatam. And he wound up in America, which was the very center of degradation within the material world. From the center of the very center of the spiritual world, he went to the very center of the material world to preach Krishna consciousness. And then where did he go in America? He went to New York City, which was the most degraded part. In so many ways, so much degradation. And then he not only went to New York City, he went to the Bowery. It's the lowest part of New York City, as we know, with drunks and drug addicts. And still, if you go there, I went there last year for the 40th anniversary, and you can't walk down the street without some completely crazy person saying something to you, just sitting in the gutters. And Prabhupada went to that place, not by accident. This was by divine intervention. He went to the worst possible place within the material world and began the Krishna consciousness movement in the West. This was all for what reason? Just to glorify Srila Prabhupada more and more. It wasn't something that was very easy on any level, huh? So this is Krishna's arrangement. This is the arrangement of the disciplic succession. So the Prabhupada could be even more glorified by this process. So he went there and he chanted Hare Krishna. And who came? And well, as we know, then the rest is documented history now by, thanks to our God brother Yadavara, we can see it all in video, we can hear it on tapes. But it was such a difficult thing. And as we know, on the boat, so many difficulties. Prabhupada suffered heart attacks, but he only had one thing in mind, and that was to deliver everyone in this material world. not a few people, not the Americans, you know, New Yorkers. He wanted to deliver everyone, everywhere. And for the next 12 years, that was what he did every day, everywhere he went, as he traveled around the world. And everywhere he went and placed his feet again, they all became places of pilgrimage. We know the next couple of weeks there's going to be festivals in the Ukraine and in Russia. Most 10,000 devotees in these two places will be attending these festivals. And this was Prabhupada's eagerness. Prabhupada could see everything. He stressed, that's why he liked this preaching so much within this communist bloc, as they would say at that time. Prabhupada was so excited to see people taking that risk for Krishna. Because when you do that, you know, Krishna notices. And this is what we want. Krishna, as Prabhupada's spiritual master would say, don't try to see Krishna. You serve so that Krishna will want to see you. And Prabhupada, again, I could read in these lectures, it was so nice. He started saying at this Vyas Puja in 1973. And first, his disciples would come up, Shyamasundar and Tamal Krishna and Bhagavan, and they would glorify Srila Prabhupada. And he would pick the different devotees to speak. And I would sit there and think, oh, geez, please don't ask me, Prabhupada. I never knew what to say. I was with Prabhupada 24 hours a day seeing these activities, but I was completely tongue-tied. And I still feel the same. What can you say about Srila Prabhupada? How can you glorify Srila Prabhupada? I mean, just scratch the surface. So one after another, they went up and Prabhupada would sit there. So much humility. And then he started speaking. And then he's quoting Lord Chaitanya saying, everyone should become spiritual master. Everyone should be guru. And then he said, just like now we have this Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was just the very beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Adi Leela was out. And they called it Lord Chaitanya in Five Features. And that book arrived, I think, here while Prabhupada was here in August of 1973. And Prabhupada was so excited to see at last Chaitanya Charitamrita had been translated into English for the Western world. Now, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. He was so happy. And then what did he do? He starts praising Prajumna and saying, I've done Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he says, no, he said, I have done some, but Prajumna has done. He has taken and he's worked so hard. And he said, I call him, he said, Pandit Mahasya. He said, our Prajumna. And I'm sure Prajumna was there with his head down. But Prabhupada was glorifying Prajumna for doing so much. And this is how Prabhupada was. Whatever anyone did, that's all Prabhupada ever saw was the service that we did to help spread Krishna consciousness. And he would always say, to help serve my spiritual master. He was so transparent. Prabhupada would never even take it that you were serving me. He would say, you're helping me serve my spiritual master. See, that's the parampara. Everything just immediately gets passed on all the way up to Vyasadeva, all the way to Krishna. And if that doesn't happen, everything is spoiled. Again, just like Vyasaki was saying, it was so, when you hear it and you think, oh my God, and Lord Chaitanya, 100 years later, it was all lost. Vishwanath Chakravarti had to come along and reestablish Vaishnavism. Then again, 100 years it's gone. And again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he couldn't even find a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And again, he had to establish. But this is all the glories of the devotees. This is how Krishna arranges to glorify his devotees. And not only did he do that, but he had a son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Such an amazing personality, huh? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a grahasta, Prabhupada said, a grahasta. He said, in that class, he said, just like our Bhagavan, a grahasta. He said, and he has children. So Prabhupada spent his time glorifying his disciples at his Vyas Puja that day. And then we know from Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then Srila Prabhupada. And I was just thinking today, the words we would hear so many times Prabhupada say, and his spiritual master would say, if I just have one disciple who understands, then I'm a success. How true that is, huh? Just one pure devotee amongst so many struggling devotees, huh? The importance of having that one. And if you don't have that one, even within 100 years, even 50 years, can all be finished, just become some mundane religion. Yeah. But Prabhupada, he always gave us that absolute truth, never wavered from giving pure Krishna consciousness. And that's our business. And that's what he always said, just do that. And he stressed in his distributing his books, because his books were there and they were pure. So often I've told that story when Prabhupada kept telling me, read his books, read this book, read this one book. He would always say, read just one book, you know. And that one day he finally said one page, and then he said one line. So this was one line, Prabhupada would say, if you just can give someone a book, that opportunity is there for them to become Krishna conscious. Oh, what a wonderful service. So at that time, I was again very fortunate. I traveled with him from September of 1972 all the way into 1975. And I saw in 1972, just shortly after I became his disciple, Prabhupada was going back to Vrindavan. He had been there a week here, a week there in 1970, 71. But he was going there for a very big festival, the first big Kartik festival. And like now, we're all going to Vrindavan for Kartik. Well, 1972 was like the first big festival. There were like 50 devotees from the West. That was a lot. Prabhupada's Western disciples, Americans and Europeans. Prabhupada would always say his American and European disciples. And from the moment I joined that party, I saw Prabhupada's eagerness, how excited he was to go back to Vrindavan. Because he wasn't going back to Vrindavan with three big trunks of books alone. He was back to Vrindavan with all these disciples, his Western Vaishnavas. And as Prabhupada always showed, he was very proud of his disciples. This was also part of Prabhupada's glory, his followers. And that's why it's so important that we be good followers of Srila Prabhupada. So he was proud to go back and show everyone all over India. But at this time, he was very proud to go to Vrindavan for the month of Kartik. He said, and every day, he told me on a plane, he was thinking, who knows what's, you know, the pure devotees going on in his mind. But he said to me, every day I'll give class on Nectar of Devotion. He said, and you can read from it. He said, and then I'll stop and give commentary. He said, and in English for my Western disciples. He said, the others may come, locals, bridge bossies, they may be there. He said, but I'm speaking in English to my disciples. And he wanted everyone to see that. In Vrindavan, he had made Vaishnavas. Not that he had made, he didn't think like that, but Lord Chaitanya had made, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and the disciplic succession, he had Vaishnavas, pure Vaishnavas. He considered us pure Vaishnavas from the moment we began chanting Hare Krishna. This is what he saw. Imagine the person in the topmost level, topmost devotee of Krishna. No one within history has done more to spread Krishna consciousness. No one can in the future on this planet. He did it. And as topmost Vaishnava, what did he see? soon as someone came in and surrendered to him, began chanting Hare Krishna, he's saying they are pure devotees. What to speak of what we should see from our state? This is what Prabhupada saw. Again, just like Vyasaki said yesterday, you know, we see the world through our eyes. We think everyone is like us. So that's what Prabhupada saw. He saw that everyone was devotees of Krishna, serving so nicely. So many times I would be sitting right there, Mataji sitting at that spot, and Prabhupada would just look out into the kirtan, just big smile, looking at us, jumping up and down, chanting and dancing. And Prabhupada was so happy. Everywhere he went, he had that. He said that he was a leader. Even when he was 5 years old, he was a leader. One time he said to me, he was in the car, and he had just got into the car from a pandal. 10,000 people, maybe in Delhi or Bombay. I think it was Delhi. And he laughed. He said, when I was young, 5 years old, he said, I was just up to people's knees. He said, and I would see so many people surrounding some sadhu or someone was speaking, surrounded by thousands. He said, and I thought, I want to be like that someday. So that was his desire. He wanted thousands. So there he was now, speaking in thousands as he was going to the car. They were rushing in and they were trying to touch his feet. But in all humility, Prabhupada would just, as he would go into the car. So now he's there in Vrindavan for that month of Kartik, first big festival in 1972. And Prabhupada just continued to show them how this movement of Lord Chaitanya was going to go on. He initiated sannyasis. I've told that story, Paramahamsa Swami. He was 19 years old. Prabhupada gave him sannyas there in Vrindavan. The night of Rasayacha, Rasa Leela dance, him, Satsup, so many were getting sannyas then. But this boy was 19. But Prabhupada had such faith, and he was so eager to spread Krishna consciousness, that he did something that was virtually, it was impossible. He used these people, these Americans, these Maleches, Yavanas. Prabhupada said, only Lord Chaitanya could make the animals chant and dance, he said. But Prabhupada did that, didn't he? We just had a little less hair. That's all. What did we come from? See, this is the actual understanding. Prabhupada did make animals chant and dance. When you see Yadabara's videos, you literally can see animals chanting and dancing and becoming glorious. And Prabhupada empowered his followers, as he still empowers us, his disciples, his grand disciples. If you think you're doing something on your own, you're not going to be here very long. It's all by the power of Srila Prabhupada. And he was so empowered because of that, what does that cost, 50 pounds? In some temples they charge 50 pounds when a phone goes off, I think. Or you have to pay for the Sunday feast. Srila Prabhupada, because of such a strong desire to save the whole world, he could empower, and he did empower, children with no ability. Children that were managing some of them millions of dollars. They had no idea. 6 months before, I was one time a temple president in Hawaii in 1977. Every month we were taking in $30,000-$40,000. I didn't even know what was going on. And somehow I just went to the bank every day and deposited money. But this was Srila Prabhupada's desire, such a strong desire. And while he was here with us on this planet, anything can happen. Anything could happen by that personal presence. Because his Vapu was there. I saw it. We all saw it. Some devotees were following strictly. Some were following not quite as strictly. Some were barely following or not following. And still, because of Prabhupada's potency, they were doing so much. And Prabhupada accepted that service. And that's where it comes from, the acceptance. Because Prabhupada accepted it, it could go on. And then I saw one thing happen in 1977 when Prabhupada left. The importance. You no longer could just have that connection because Prabhupada was right there. If he wanted, he could put his arms around you and pat you on the head and say how wonderful you were doing and serve Krishna. Your connection was through the process, through chanting our rounds, following the regulative principles. And that's where the connection remains strong. And when one does that, that connection is there. Through the disciplic succession, the disciples. Prabhupada say disciple means discipline. No discipline, no disciple. Not just by name. This is the exact opposite of what Prabhupada preached. By birth. Not simply by birth. It's by qualities, by our performance. So that was in 1972. Prabhupada went to Vrindavan. And he just glorified his disciples. He spoke to them every day from nectar of devotion. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He's talking the highest philosophy. And he would always emphasize that this was for all the Vaishnavas. Didn't matter what body there was. A few years ago, I was at Radha Damodar Temple. And it was for Vyas Puja, Prabhupada's Vyas Puja. It was maybe 5 years ago. And some of the devotees told me to offer aritik. But then within the temple there, the Goswami, no. Because I was a Westerner. And then Gopal Krishna Maharaj was there. So they said, you offer it. Because he had an Indian body. So they had him offer it. So these are the things Prabhupada fought against every day. But as Prabhupada said, he was a leader. And he wouldn't take no for an answer. And he did what he knew was right. And he did what he knew would spread Krishna consciousness. In that lecture he gave on Vyas Puja Day 34 years ago, he also mentioned, as he said, Bhagavan, he is a grihastha. And he said, my godbrothers, they criticize me. That I'm a sannyasi and I'm marrying disciples, male and female, he said, and they criticize. But then he mentioned Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was grihastha. And he could see what was going on. He was spreading Krishna consciousness. So then that was when I was just become his servant, 1972. And now almost 3 years had passed. And it was February and March of 1975. And unbeknownst to myself, I was going to be leaving Prabhupada's personal service by June of that year. At the time, I didn't realize that. And I'm traveling with Srila Prabhupada. And again, I notice even someone as covered over as me, notice Prabhupada was really in ecstasy a lot. And sometimes it was coming out. Things he was saying, things he was doing. And it was on that trip he left Hawaii. He went around the world in 2 months. And after leaving Hawaii, he went to Los Angeles. But then things really got very nice. And Prabhupada was just, he was in ecstasy. He went to Mexico City. And he stayed there for 1 week. And now he's seeing these people, not just North America, it's not just English-speaking people. He's in Mexico, and no one speaks English. His lectures are being translated by Hridayananda Maharaj, and there's hundreds of these pious souls in Mexico. And one of them said, Prabhupada, after class, they had question and answers. It was so nice. And there was a lady, older lady. She was a devotee, initiated devotee. See, now it wasn't just teenagers and 20-year-olds becoming devotees. Now you had people 40 years old, 50 years old, taking to Krishna consciousness. This was unusual at the time. They were all young people. But Prabhupada said, we have to remember Krishna at the time of death. So at the class, she raised her hand, and she said to Ridayananda, and he translated, and he smiled, Ridayananda Maharaj smiled. And said, Prabhupada, she wants to know, is it okay if we remember you at the time of death? And Prabhupada just went, that's okay. So this is the mercy Srila Prabhupada has given to us. For myself, I can hardly think of Krishna. Even I see him on the altar. But Prabhupada, sometimes I can think about Prabhupada, and I can remember Srila Prabhupada. And we can all do that. He was right here just a few years ago, walking around, opening up temples, opening up people's hearts to Krishna. Huh? And still he's doing that. But he was doing that every day. That's what he did. So there in Mexico City, Prabhupada, his lecture, he always talk about Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. This is their mercy. Imagine the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, giving it out freely. Now, Prabhupada had come and done that. 500 years later, it went from India all around the world, just in a very short time. And it happened as soon as it was materially possible to happen. It couldn't have happened in 1850. How would one travel around the world in 1850? How would one communicate? Where were those cassette tape recorders and all these ways, innovative ways that Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness, translated his books? The earliest opportunity that it could happen, it happened. And Prabhupada was that person to do it. There was no other person to do it but Srila Prabhupada. We were in Czech Republic, and Chai Pataka was giving this very nice class, and he was talking about Jagai and Madai. Such rascals they were. Such rascals, if you understand their story. They would read the Manu Samhita. In Manu Samhita, all these different sinful activities are described. And they would read them and find the most grievous sin that they could commit. And that would be the sins that they would commit. They wanted to do the most sinful things possible. And they found in there, you rape the wife of a Brahmin and you kill him before her. And that's what they did. So this was what they were doing. So what happened to these people? They were given mercy by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda had mercy upon them. Lord Nityananda, he's the original spiritual master. We know last week we had appearance day of Balaram. Prabhupada said, Balaram doesn't mean material strength, spiritual strength. Huh? So Lord Nityananda is an incarnation of Balaram and the original spiritual master. He's most merciful. And it's by his strength we can advance in Krishna consciousness. So you can see in Srila Prabhupada that same mercy. He went and delivered the most fallen. He started there. That's where he started Krishna consciousness in the West, was with the most fallen, in the most difficult part of the world. And the most fallen, he picked them up and he started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And as it said there, this associate, it's eternal. Prabhupada said this ISKCON Society is eternal. And there's that one of my favorite letters, I put it in the back of that book, What is the Difficulty? And Prabhupada said this ISKCON will be there in the spiritual world. Imagine this ISKCON Society. I always think we have to straighten a lot out before we can take that ISKCON and put it there. But we have to do that. If we want to get back to the spiritual world, this ISKCON Society, we have to work out all these things. This is our place to work out all the difficulties. And he described, we start doing that by seeing everyone as a pure devotee. said, anyone that's following, he said, the orders of the spiritual master sincerely, he's to be seen as a pure devotee. He said, not that you pick and choose. Oh, this one, he's pure, but this one, he's having problems, you know. This one's doing this, this one's doing that, this one's falling. I know, because we see with our eyes. Huh? Again, Prabhupada's eyes, he just saw everyone was sincerely serving. And he said, if you make that distinction that this one is pure and this one is impure, then you're a nonsense. And this was in a letter, but he didn't say just to this person. He said, anyone who makes that distinction, here is pure devotee, this is not pure devotee. He said twice, he said it. That person is a nonsense. Imagine if we had that vision, how this Krishna consciousness movement could expand, huh? And spread, how we could spread the holy name. If it's all we did was encourage one another to help push on this mission for Srila Prabhupada. And that's always what he wanted. He would always say that, cooperate with one another. He would say, what is the difficulty? You have your service, you have your service. And he said, if something does happen, he said, if there's some disagreement, how is it resolved? Anyone know? He said, you offer obeisances. That was it. He said, because a Vaishnava doesn't take offense. So even if some disagreement comes, he said, you just offer your obeisances and finish. Prabhupada saw things so simply, so clearly. So then he was in Mexico, and then he went to Caracas. Now in Caracas again, now this is Venezuela, South America. And in the temple room, there's hundreds of devotees and the conga drums and chanting and dancing, such nice kirtan. And Prabhupada, wherever he goes now, he just sees Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And immediately he would start speaking. And you could see, if you read his lectures, and if you hear his lectures, you could see Prabhupada, each time he's becoming more and more choked up because he's seeing 1975, 10 years have gone by of working 24 hours a day. Prabhupada worked night and day. He said to me once as he would so sweetly pull those covers over his head at night, and he pulled the covers up and he said, now I'm going to waste my time. He would say it so just like he was that five-year-old boy, he would say it, you know. Now I'm going to waste my time. He said, I hate sleep. Just a waste of time. He was all, that's how he was. It's all he wanted to do was preach. It's all he wanted to do was save every conditioned soul in the whole world, in the whole universe. It's what he's doing. It's what he'll be doing eternally. He's in ecstasy doing it, seeing people coming back to Krishna. Prabhupada was in ecstasy. He said, I don't like to sleep. And then he would sleep just like a little baby, so soundly, so peacefully. You would see him lie there. And sometimes if you happen to be there, not many happen to be, but you'd just go into ecstasy seeing Prabhupada lying there in this wonderful, just lying in the bed. And then he'd be up in 1 or 2 hours. But he said it a few times, I hate sleep. He said it to George Harrison when he came. And he said, George, he said, I hate to go to sleep. He said, it's just a waste of time. And George Harrison's eyes, he said, me too, Prabhupada. He said, I don't like it either. And the two of them, they were just going back and forth. Prabhupada, he said, I hate sleeping too. He said, I just always want to be doing something. And Prabhupada's going, yes, me too. And I'm sitting there thinking, ooh, sleep. Someday to attain that level of hating sleep. So then Prabhupada's in Caracas and he's seeing this International Society, which was begun by Srila Rupa Goswami. Huh? He said Srila Rupa Goswami's inspiration. It's all over the world. Everywhere he goes, people are chanting and dancing. They're chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada was in ecstasy. All that work from 1965, the moment he left the Radha Damodar temple, so many difficulties. But never, he was never, ever disturbed. I don't know what you might read or what you might see. Prabhupada was always, he was always happy. He was always Krishna conscious. And he was always completely dependent on the mercy of his spiritual master and the holy name. And he had complete faith. That's what we need. Huh? That's that pure devotee, one who has complete faith, never in anxiety, never disturbed. Some anxiety is, of course, there, but that's a different kind of anxiety. Never in any material anxiety. Prabhupada, sometimes he said, you know, we put him in anxiety, he said. But that's okay, he said, we accept that for Krishna. He said, we would give him a headache. Or we say, he said, his disciples, once one of them chimed in, Prabhupada, we're just puppets. And Prabhupada said, yes, he said, but I want you to go like this, and you're going like this. So the opposite looks the same. It depends on how you look, but everyone knew what he was saying. So wasn't it everyone was just, we surrendered as much as we could. But Prabhupada had to deal with every day. And that's what was so baffling to me, because I was with him literally 24 hours a day. And somehow, due to my nature, as Guridas Prabhu described, when there was things going on in the room that involved this management, and all, I would just like, as I still do, just kind of leave that place. I just can't, and I just don't know how to deal with it. And Prabhupada would, and he would make the adjustments, and he would make the corrections, and he would do whatever he had to do. And then everyone was gone, and then I would be back in the room with Prabhupada, and it was just like, it was the spiritual world. There was no residual effect, you know, in Prabhupada, in the room, nowhere. It was just this very wonderful place. And that's what Prabhupada mentioned. I didn't find it. He mentioned that the spiritual master, he said, when Shyama Sundar was saying, we have you, Prabhupada, it's better than Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said, the spiritual master, he carries the Vrindavan atmosphere. Such a phrase, Vrindavan atmosphere, wherever he goes. So that's what Prabhupada did. Huh? He made it, didn't have to go to Vrindavan. He carried, because Krishna's right there. Where Krishna is, everything's there. But right there, Krishna was right with Prabhupada. So Vrindavan was right there, that Vrindavan atmosphere. And I didn't understand, still don't understand, and didn't realize Vrindavan, but I just knew being around Prabhupada just was very peaceful. And it was no anxiety, huh? In Vrindavan, no one's in anxiety. In Goloka Vrindavan, we're free from anxiety. Prabhupada said, someone said, what does it mean to be a devotee? He said, it means to be free from anxiety. Because we're trying to control everything. See, that means we don't have faith. Krishna's in control. He's always in control. He's controlling everything. And if you just give yourself to your spiritual master, follow his instructions, there's no need. Whatever happens, that's Krishna's desire. Whatever difficulty we may get put in. See, Prabhupada, externally, we saw so many difficulties. But Prabhupada always felt safe and secure. Like he said, he told Paramahamsa and me, he said, when I had my heart attack, he said, I had that dream. He said, and in the dream, he said, Krishna many Krishnas, he said. They were rowing the boat, and they were rowing me to safety. He said, then when I woke up, he said, I knew that everything was okay. Imagine Krishna was just carrying him across. And then we know the story. The sea was completely calm. They said like it had never been. The captain of the ship, he said they had never seen such a calm Atlantic Ocean, just like a lake, they said. His captain's wife described it. She said, please, you travel with us all the time. Because he just made everything calm. And Prabhupada was like that, just calm. To be in Mayapur with him, it was just amazing. And Prabhupada was headed there to Mayapur. He couldn't wait to go to Mayapur for the big, this was 1975, the big Mayapur festival. Prabhupada was so excited. There would be hundreds of devotees. You can see the picture. Hundreds of Prabhupada's disciples from all over the world, everywhere, North America, South America, Europe. They're coming from all places. And as Prabhupada's making his way back, everywhere he goes, there's Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda like this, just distributing the mercy. And who put them there? Who carried them there? Prabhupada did. And everywhere you go, you see them. Everywhere you go, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. He said, if nothing else, even Radha Krishna doesn't come, he said, that's okay. He said in Miami, he said, someday, he said, maybe you'll worship Radha Krishna. He said, but it doesn't matter. He said, Lord Chaitanya is there. He said, Radha Krishna is there in Lord Chaitanya. He said, just worship. Like when you go to the Eastern Europe and Russia, everywhere, Gornitai they have. Everywhere you go, Gornitai deities. People's homes are worshiping Gornitai. In the temple, they're worshiping Gornitai. So it's just multiplying. And it's all the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. That's our vision. It's all coming through Srila Prabhupada. Not anyone else. No one else can make that claim. Huh? And if they do, beat them with your shoes. Prabhupada would say, beat with shoes. He said that about, what was it, that one guru got hit with the pie in the face. That happened. Prabhupada couldn't understand. He kept saying, what? He's saying, Hansa Duda saying, Prabhupada, they hit him in the face with a pie. Prabhupada, like, pie? What's this pie? You know, like 22 over 7, you know, pie. And then, and I'm saying, Prabhupada, they had this. And Prabhupada laughed. Yes, he said, very good. He says, very good. So that's what we have to do. We have to defend Srila Prabhupada. And that's our glory, to defend Prabhupada's position in the parampara and distribute his books, follow his program. And as Vyasaki said, we can go back home, back to Godhead. It's what Prabhupada said. He would say it so many times. I heard him say it. New Dwarka in his room just looked at me. He said, if you just chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, at the end of this life, you go back home, back to Godhead. And then he said, we're not so advanced, he said, that we want to come back life after life. He said, we're not that advanced. He said, we want that desire to go back home, back to Godhead. But Prabhupada's desire was just to serve, to deliver all the living entities. Because when you're a pure devotee, Krishna's there. The Vrindavan atmosphere is there already. And that's why everywhere Prabhupada went, he was content. And he just wanted to give out to everyone that atmosphere, that Vrindavan atmosphere. So particularly, that Vrindavan atmosphere is here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Prabhupada has blessed this place in so many ways. And he describes that in that lecture too, as Prabhupada could foresee the future. And he said, even ones here, they're in the temple, worshiping the deities, or even they can't do any of that, even if they just come to the temple sometimes and they offer their obeisances, he says they can be spiritual master. So what do we see last few days? Prabhupada saw so many just coming, made this arrangement. Prabhupada said in India too, that's the arrangement. People come, they take darshan, they get mahaprasadam, and then they go back to their lives. But it's a beginning. And if gradually you just bring them more and more towards Krishna. But we ourselves, we have to remain on that transcendental level to give them Krishna consciousness. Because you can't give something if you don't have it yourself. And you're just fooling everyone. And you can't fool anyone. You can't fool Krishna. So we have to have that purity by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And then we can be Krishna conscious and we can help others become Krishna conscious. So this is a very wonderful day. And again, it's in so many ways Prabhupada was here. It's anniversary of Prabhupada being here in 1977 and anniversary of his Vyas Puja being here in 1973. Prabhupada liked this place so much. So we should have a very wonderful day. And I'm very eager to hear from my God brothers, God sisters, and everyone and their realizations. And thank you very much for giving me the time to speak. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Prabhu ki jai.